In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is good to talk about giving thanks. It is good to teach children and adults to give thanks. But talk is finally just that, it's talk. Showing thanks, showing someone gratitude, is a much harder lesson for us to learn. So how do we give thanks to the God who has so richly blessed us? How do we give thanks to the God who has given us all that we have for body and soul? Everything we have is His, nothing is ours. It's all a gift from Him to us. It comes from His fatherly divine goodness and love. It comes to us miserable sinners who constantly abuse His earthly gifts, and yet still He gives because He loves. On top of that, He gives us His one and only Son, His beloved Son, the Son of the promise, the Son who owns the kingdom of heaven. He gives Him into death on the cross so that we might have eternal riches in heaven that last for all eternity. How can we thank our God for all of this when He would so willingly pour His greatest blessing on us sinful creatures? It is good to talk about giving thanks. It is good to teach children and to remind us adults to give thanks. But actually showing thanks is a much harder lesson to learn. Who can comprehend all of God's love? No one is like God. No father, no mother is as generous and loving as our God is. He alone is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So where do we start? His gifts are endless. Is saying thank you a proper way to give thanks? Is that enough? Is folding our hands in prayer and praying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever," is that good enough? Is giving thanks only when we feel that gratitude and appreciation in our hearts? Is it only when we show up for church on Sunday to offer Him our hymns, our praise, and our offerings? Or even worse, is it only when the government tells us to give thanks? Now, these things are all fine and really should not exclude each other. But the true and proper way to give thanks to God is to receive His blessings and then to live a godly life. Now, what is unholy cannot bear good fruit. And so we have the reading of Jesus curing the lepers from their leprosy. For leprosy is a picture, an image, a type of sin. And what is unholy cannot bring forth good works. Lepers themselves were cut off from the community of Israel. They couldn't live with their family or friends. They had to live outside of the camp, outside of the cities, by themselves. And this showed that sinners were cut off and separated from the kingdom of God. Not only were these lepers cut off from their family and friends, but they had to dishevel their hair and basically look unkempt. People that you really wouldn't want to be around or would cross on the other side of the road. On top of that, they had to cover their mouths and call out to anyone who came near them, "unclean." All this was to teach Israel and us that sinners cannot live in the community of God. That sinners by nature are lost in their condition and are really in a dreadful fallen state, and they cannot help themselves. The only thing they can do is warn others who come near them that they are unclean, unholy sinners. And yet when these lepers saw Jesus, they cry out, "Have pity on us, have mercy on us." And then Christ healed them. For God has compassion on the sinner. He would not let sin separate Him from His beloved creatures. So He Himself bore their sin and our sins into death on the cross so that He might have us as His treasured possession forever. Through word and through sacrament, He continues to forgive all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He makes you holy. He makes you pleasing. He makes you acceptable to God so that now you can bear good fruit. The one Samaritan returned, the foreigner, the outsider. He returns and gives thanks and praise to God. So also we return to give thanks and praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We fall down on our knees before him. We are unworthy that he would give his life for ours, his body in place of ours. Weekly we give him our thanks, our praise, our songs, our offerings, but really these are only secondary. For the chief and the highest way to thank God is to open your mouth and to receive his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. For Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples. So we take bread, we give thanks, and we receive it with our mouths. A word for this Holy Communion is called the Eucharist. This is the Thanksgiving meal. This is the place that we give thanks to God and proclaim his death until he comes again. For God continues to serve us, his healing body, and we continue to receive that which makes us immortal, that which gives us access from this life, from these earthly blessings, into that eternal life with those eternal heavenly blessings. So let God be God. Let God be God and stop trying to stuff him on a golden throne in heaven. Stop trying to make God receive everything that you want to give him, and let God be God. Let God be the God who wants to save, to give. Let God be the God who wants to continue to serve you day after day. Let God be the God who is your Savior. And so receive his endless blessings here, in his word and in his sacraments, as he continues to make your cup overflow with his goodness and love. Receive these gifts in faith, and you give thanks to God. Receive these gifts in faith, and then you lead a holy and godly life in your various vocations. For in your daily life, as you worship God out there, you are thanking and praising God as you offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. That out there you worship God not just one day a week, but each and every day as you carry out the vocations God has given to you. And you do that as citizens of heaven. To be a citizen of heaven doesn't mean you ignore this world and what is going on here. If God wanted you in heaven right now, you would be there. He leaves you here because he still has work for you to do. He still has people for you to love and to care for. He still has mouths to feed, and he uses you to accomplish such things. So carry out these vocations as a citizen of heaven, even as you live out on this earth, for that is your thanks to God as well. That is worshiping God as well. Worshiping, thanking God is not just sitting around idle and pondering the great gifts of God, but it is also going out and loving and serving your neighbor. Worshiping and thanking God means that you offer your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, and all that you are to this God who has brought you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. So everything you do is worship and thanks to God. Whether you're making an honest business deal or changing diapers, witnessing to others, or washing the toilets, it's all thanks to God because he is the one who gave you the job, the abilities, the children, the friends, and yes, even the bathrooms. This is the job that God wants you to carry out. This is the work that he wants you to do, for this is where he has placed you right now. And to accept that, and to be content with that is to give thanks to God each and every day. When you wake up with your crying child, you are giving thanks to God. When you work your best, whether at school or at home, you are giving thanks to God. When you clean your house, take care of your own body or of those around you, eat the food God has given you, you are giving thanks to God. Now, none of it is perfect, but nevertheless, it still pleases God because he has made you his own treasured possession. He has made you his own beloved child. He has bought you at the price of his son so that you might live in his kingdom forever, both now and in eternity. So worship and give thanks to God by using your body and possessions in the way that God desires. Be holy, not sinful. Be what God has made you to be. Strive for godliness. Keep his commandments. Love your neighbor. Support your government. And also do good to others. Do not conform to this world, for God has brought you out of this world. He has separated you from this world. Yes, you stand out, but so did that Samaritan. He was the only one who went back to give thanks and praise to God. So what if you're different? It is good to be different from this fallen world. It is good to serve the living God. If Lot wasn't called out, then he would have perished with Sodom. If Israel wasn't called out, they would have died as slaves in Egypt. If you were not called out of the world, then you would have died in your sins. But God has called you out to be his own. Yes, you do the same tasks as the people out there. Yes, you benefit them and they benefit you. Yes, yes, you can even learn from them. But you are always holy to the Lord while they are dead in their sins. You are always alive while they remain dead in their sins. You believe in the goodness of God while they believe in the goodness of man. You see all things as a gift from God while they see all things as accomplished by their hard work. So yes, it is good to give thanks to God in the morning, in the evening, at mealtime, in your prayers. It is good to come and offer your sacrifices, your hymns, your offerings, your praise. It is good to do these things. But also understand that each and every day you are giving thanks to God by carrying out the jobs, the vocations, the office where God has placed you. And chiefly, you come back here, not to worship God, for you have done that 6 days a week, but you come here to receive yet again that Thanksgiving meal, the Eucharist, the very body and blood of your God, where he sustains you and pours out immeasurable riches and blessings on you that neither you or I have ever asked for or could possibly imagine. So even though we live this godly life in thanks to him, the greatest thanks, the greatest love we could ever offer to him is to come forward, kneel down, open our mouths, and eat and drink. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.